Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit you instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a confession to make. I love to dance. I've never been properly trained, although I have picked up a bit from my years of teaching and working in theater, but I'm not a very good dancer at all, but I still love it. There is proof that I'm not a very good dancer. There are two framed photos on my living room, on a shelf in my living room, from my father's 75th birthday. He was a really good dancer. One photo is of my sister dancing with my father. Their faces are smiling as they glide around the dance floor. She had dancing lessons, by the way. The other is of my dad and me dancing. I'm smiling, but in a sort of shrugged-shouldered stance, and my father has this pained expression on his face, and he's looking off into the distance. I'm quite certain that I had stepped on his foot again. Well, there's a lot of dancing in the Old Testament and Gospel readings today. In 2 Samuel, Daniel dances with the joy of thanksgiving, celebrating God's blessings. And in Mark's Gospel, Herodias, Herod's daughter, dances for the pleasure of her father and his guests at a banquet. We do not know how she felt while she was dancing. Two very different dances, for sure. David's unbridled leaping and flailing, celebrating victory over the Philistines, the return of the Ark of the Covenant, and Herodias, who was certainly trained, executed, poor choice of words, a beautiful dance for her father's banquet. Did she have any idea that her father would grant her any wish? Did she know the impact of her mother's request? We'll never know. But we do know something about David's dancing and what that was all about. There are two sections where David is dancing in today's gospel. In the first paragraph, the house of Israel and David dance in front of the new cart carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And in the second dance, David is girded with a linen ephod or apron, and he dances before the Lord again with all his might. So why does he dance twice? What happened in between those two dances? Well, there are some verses missing in today's reading. And the verses between the two dances tell us that Uzzah, one of the guys helping with the cart, reaches out to steady the ark when one of the oxen pulling the new cart stumbles. And then it says, the Lord's anger was aroused against Uzzah and God struck him dead. He died right there beside the cart. David gets really angry with God striking him down. And then he becomes afraid of God and realizes that he can't bring the cart back. So he parks it at Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. So I did a little research on this whole moving of the cart ark thing. And I was reminded of the movie, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, where when the guy looks into the ark, he, you know, explodes and dies. But all Uzzah did was touch the cart to steady it. He steadied the new cart. The fact that this is a new cart is mentioned two times in today's reading. And that new cart, as it turns out, was the problem, because it clearly states in Exodus and Numbers how the ark is to be moved. 4 golden rings to hold two long poles that are not to be removed. The whole affair is to be carried on the shoulder of Levite priests, not on a new cart drawn by oxen. The ox stumbling in Uzzah's death, no doubt perceived by David and probably everyone else, looked like divine punishment for not following Mosaic law. 3 months later, David realizes that God is no longer angry because the house of Obed-Edom, where he left the cart, the Ark of the Covenant, has been blessed. So David once again sets off to bring the Ark back to Israel. But this time they do it the right way. It says, those who bore the Ark. They carried it 6 paces, testing it out, no doubt. Everything's okay. So David makes a sacrifice and thanksgiving and now dances with all his might again. And that ephod, the apron thing, it is not the only thing that David is wearing, as some have suggested. He is not dancing in his white tights. He has donned the priestly garb of the Levite priests who are carrying the ark. And he dances in the streets with the commoners, full of joy and thanksgiving to God for the victory in battle, for anointing him king of Israel, and for safely and properly bringing the ark back home. But like my father's pained expression when he danced with my 2 left feet, there is Michelle in the window, watching David in disgust. Why does she despise her king, her husband, the victorious, the handsome and ready David, who is dancing for God's glory? Maybe she resented David because she had given so much of herself to him. She was, after all, a princess, the daughter of Saul. She fell in love with David. She was given to him in marriage after his spectacular victory over the Philistines. She helped him to escape the wrath of her father Saul. While David was being chased by Saul's men all over the countryside, Saul gives her in marriage to another man. When David was able to return, he demanded her back. By then, he had lots of other wives and many children by them. But Michal was barren. And now here she is, frowning at her husband's shameless display of passion, dancing in the street with commoners before God. I was struck by Michal's bitterness after reading a devotional in this Bible that I bought last fall. And I loved the title of this Bible, Dancing in the Desert. I was reminded how often the characters of these Bible stories seem two-dimensional to us. It's easy to forget that they were all human, like us. They faced the pressures of daily living, like us. And sometimes they were overwhelmed with their circumstances, quite like us. David ran for his life from Saul's wrath, left his new wife. Later, he demanded her back. He got angry with God over Uzzah's death, and then feared God's wrath when he realized what he had done or not done with the ark. Michal, the princess who loved David, saved his life, and then she's given to another man, then taken back by David, only to become one of his many wives. And she was left bitter and barren. And then there's Herodias, a little girl who must dance for her father and his guests, a child of privilege whose request of her father ends the life of the one shouting in the wilderness. Each of these children of God was dancing in the desert, wandering in the wilderness, in search of meaning, significance, and purpose. Not so different from me. Not so different from whom I met. But David didn't just survive in the wilderness. He lived in faith, and he was able to remember God and his purpose, even when darkness closed in around him in that desert. So how do we live in faith, not just surviving in this desert, but empowered to dance like David with all of our might, whether we had lessons or not? Well, I looked for some clue, some dancing lessons, if you will, in today's epistle. Paul is really wordy here, how odd. But he did shed some light on how we might dance in our respective deserts. His letter to the Ephesians opens with, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, blessed us in Christ and chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God made his choice before he created the world, that we, the human race, you and me, were created to be holy and blameless before him because he loves us so very much. And why did he do this? So that we might praise this glorious God, this grace that he freely has given to us. He knows better than we do that when we concentrate all our attention and praise on him, all of our potential will be realized. As Father Jim prays for us every week, with his grace may we become a little bit more of who we were created to be. And then Paul delivers the dancing lesson to us, how we get to participate in this blessed dance. Redemption, adoption, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, yay, Pentecost. Redemption is God's creative work for his people. We are forgiven, blameless, and holy. In Christ, we are adopted into God's family. Orphans, no more. We have been appointed to participate in this dance. And last but not least, we are sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit forever, just as our baptismal covenant states. We don't have to just survive in this desert. We have received the threefold royal dancing lesson, redemption, adoption, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, allowing us to dance like David with all of our might to the glory of our Creator. Please pray with me. All praise, glory, and thanksgiving be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we, your children, get to enjoy this day dancing to glorify you. May we live and dance in faith, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and may we, like David, remember you, your promise and purpose, when darkness closes in around us here in the desert. And as we embrace the threefold blessing of redemption, adoption, and grace, help us to become the children of God that you created us to be. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.